13th being the actual 25th anniversary of this church. All right. Tomorrow being the longest day of the year, they say, will be far from the longest service of the year today. Don't worry about that. I'm going to key in tonight just a few verses and talk about it. Sometimes we need to read certain verses over and over again because they hit home. It's easy to forget, and it's just easy to read, and that's how I am. And we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 5 tonight, just keying a couple of verses there. Let me pray. Thank you, Father, again for this time, Lord. Thank you for the music, Father, the singing, Father, the playing, the special, Lord. Just the folks, anyone that might have handed out a tract today, Father. I just pray, Lord, for tomorrow's group that goes downtown again, Lord, Thursday evening, Father. Just to go down, Father, with their banners and their tracts and pray that someone can meet you tomorrow, Father. I pray someone will accept you as their Savior, Lord. I just thank you for that. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm just going to mainly talk about just three verses right here and key off of that. Verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In these verses here, there's just for us to focus on tonight, what I focus on, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And it's so important. It's important in my life because I'm a proud person. And it's necessary for me to read that. Certainly, the Bible tells us here that fix this up a little bit here. That when he sees humility, he applies the grace. And sometimes it's so simple that we really don't consider that. There's a number of things in the Bible that remind me of that. Sometimes there's just two things. You look at it and say, it's easy. I always look to, in the book, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to go ahead, it's 1 John chapter 3. Those verses in 22 start off saying, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Right there it tells us, well, his commandment, we should believe on the name of the Lord, Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Well, pretty easy, right? Well, oops. Oops. Sometimes not so easy. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, it's easy. But love one another. Sometimes that's difficult. Just in the last few days, I've been to places where I've seen people not love one another. I mean, either through scorn or avoiding or not, you know, not talking to people, certain people here and there. And you say to yourself, how can people be like that? How can people be like that? Avoiding them, shunning them. And I mean, there's, I don't know. Maybe there's people here who wouldn't even walk from the for the south end to the north end of the building to say hi to somebody, or from the west end to the east end to say hello to somebody. It's a shame to me, but it says, this is my commandment. And he says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because all we have to do is believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's what my Bible says. It's only two things. Only two things he tells us right here. Two commandments. I mean, it's really tough to get out of the batter's box when we can't follow rule one and rule two. I mean, and that's how I see certain things in the Bible. Sometimes there's this and that. And God gives us just two things. Yeah, just this and that. That's all you got to do. And it's tough to follow. I'm talking about myself. Tough to follow. Because sometimes it's so easy. Some people want to delve into the you know, the Elizabethan theory. They want to delve into the gap theory, or the earth flat or not, or whatever, and all that. Most of that stuff doesn't matter to me. I mean, I always tell this person, when they start that argument, I say, I wasn't there. What do I care? Even the rapture, mid-trib, or I said, I always tell the mid-tribbers, they say, well, I'll save a spot for you. Don't worry about it. I can take, watch my house while I'm up there. Really, why create a World War III on this, something like that? But when God gives us some clear commandment and statute here, he tells us just a few things. I mean, getting back to the grace, he tells us grace is given to the humble. Right there. I mean, to me, these are some basic principles of his government, of God's government. Just basic principles. I can't... there's others that I think of too. I always think of Proverbs 6. He lists six things, starts off by saying six things as the Lord. Hey, but the first two, how many of us can get by the first two? Right? I mean, the proud look and the lying tongue. There we go with the pride again. Isn't that funny? We overlook sometimes, I overlook sometimes things that look so easy that it's sometimes not so easy to follow, though, we find out. See, that's why but God wants us to read daily. In verse 6 here in 1 Peter, he tells us that under his hand we are to therefore humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. All right. That he may exalt you in due time. I realize in this text he starts talking in Peter starts talking in verse 5, he says, younger. Okay, talking to the younger. Should be talking to all of us. I consider us all the younger. I consider it something they all need. I mean, we all need it just as much as anybody else. And in verse 7, he goes on and says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All our care upon him, because he cares for us. Boy, I mean, how do we fit in with all this? Number one, I guess we have to think about it. Do we actually humble ourselves to obtain his grace? That's all. Talk about grace. We know what grace is. Do we humble ourselves to get his grace? That's what he tells us to do. And humility is such a big problem in humanity. Really, you wonder if those words are similar, but humility and humanity. I mean, we look in Ephesians chapter 2. We know the verse, chapter 2, 8, for by grace they say through faith. I mean, it's only because of God's grace that we even have the opportunity to stay out of hell. It's only because of his grace we have even a chance to stay out of hell. And here he is telling us again about grace. He says, God give us grace to the humble. Boy, oh boy. And he tells us how to do it. So many times he tells us in the Bible how to do it, how to get it. Here's the one... You know, way to get it. Way, which way to go? How to get there? And for a simple person like me, I need that. And you know, how do we cast our care upon him? How do we even do that? Because we all think at times. Some of us think at times that, well, you know what? Sometimes God doesn't really realize I've got plans for my life. I mean, I got some big plans. And, you know, I don't know why he's not paying attention to that, taking heed of that. I wish God would just get on board to the fact that I've got plans and I've got something that I want to get done with my life. And I don't know how many people here tonight have thought that or do think that now, younger, maybe some of the younger, think about that years ago. You had it all planned out. This is going to happen. Maybe you figured, has the script gone well for you? Maybe you figure when you started with this company, well, I'm going to advance in this company. I'm going to go up in this company. And I'm going to continue. Can you maybe someday CEO? And now that company's gone. That company's gone. Or you figured maybe two children would do it. Yeah, two children. Perfect family. Six or seven later, you figure, oh, my goodness. You're trying. Next thing you do, you're trying to figure out a way, there's some way maybe they can share braces. And then if you're the oldest, you get to use it first, right? So, Sometimes God needs to listen to us and find out what our plans are before he makes his decisions, I would think. You know, it's maybe God worked it out his way, but you want your way, and you got your plans for your house. You know, you've got it all done to the point where you've got that mansion up there moving down here for you. And it's not wrong to have a good house, a nice house, a big house. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Or a clean house. That'd be nice too. But anyway. So be careful. Well, I've said it before too, and others have also. We put God in that bottle sometimes. We just let him out certain times. We'll hear from him when we need him. And he's the controller. But we don't, sometimes when that verse says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I mean, throughout the Bible, you think, I think maybe Job had some plans maybe at one time. Boy, he lost everything, didn't he? 10 of his kids and his, everybody, every property, his assets, everything but his wife. And some say, well, he should have lost her. I don't know. There's not much written about her. We can't. Sometimes she gets a raw deal, maybe. But I guess one of the questions I want to ask is, why are we so willing or eager to accept good from God, but not adversity? That's a tough thing, adversity, because, well, you don't know what I went through. You know what I went through last week. You know what I went through tomorrow. Everybody more or less goes through similar things in their lifetime. All right. I always describe the senior or the adult stressors as basically being fourfold, you know, spouse, children, finance, and health. And as we get a little bit older, everything, there's some of that might wane away, might go away a little bit. Maybe we have any children, maybe we'll marry, whatever, escape some of those stressors. But that's pretty much, we can share horror war stories, one another about things in our lives that really you say, oh, I would make the hair stand on the back of your head. No. You know what? We don't take it to God enough. It's a problem. Now, does that mean taking it to God, casting everything upon him? Does it say he's going to fix all wounds and fix all things today? He doesn't say that in that verse. We've got to be careful. You got to be careful. I mean, how often do we quietly submit to his will, really? Quietly submitting to it? Do we bear every little affliction without any murmurs, without any complaining, or even a total revolt towards him? It's difficult. It's difficult because we got our mouth moving. And I always say, how do you exhibit pride? Well, usually it just begins by opening your mouth. But even in Proverbs 6, we know that doesn't even have to happen. It's just that look. And you say, I'm not that way, and this and that. That's somebody else in the house. We've seen it. If you've been a child before, we've all exhibited that look. If you're ever a child, is there anybody here who's never been a child? You've all exhibited that look. And why do we despise the chastening he may give us sometimes? That's a problem too. We despise the chastening he gives us. The Bible says we could be chastened. And he loves us, though. He loves us. I mean, talking about in verse 5 again, going back, it says, and be clothed with humility. Maybe we have a problem with that clothing of humility. And we have trouble acknowledging our filthiness, our vileness, our pride, when instead we should be standing in awe of him, really, awe of him. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. And, I mean, verse 6 says, the second part of it, under the mighty hand of God. Boy, that's powerful. That's powerful. Under the mighty hand of God. I mean, I wonder sometimes when we're walking full of pride or judging others for their pride, because we don't have it. Would his mighty hand ever feel like being a crushing, grinding hand? You think about that. Maybe taking a rock and crushing it back to what it was in the beginning. to maybe start all over and mold it again. Maybe that's what he needs to do with us. Crush us down. When I read that verse, I always think of that. I say that he, under the mighty hand of God, I mean, it's going to be a strong hand. Sometimes he has to take us because we're not listening. So, like as I said, you know, pride is exhibited not just when they open our mouth, but with a look. And it's so difficult to get over that and then try to get the grace he's offering to us. And it's such a shame because we all waste so much time of our life really doing that. We're just fighting God. Sometimes like the fellow who's tied down on the sand in those old Arabian movies where they're, you know, the sun's on him and they're dripping water on his face and he's going like this, trying to avoid the water. And that's how we are sometimes, trying to avoid the chastening or God's love sometimes. We want it our way. You know what? I mean, there's always exhibit pride. I mean, guys, let's say we don't have to home run over the wall to exhibit pride. We know what a lot of people would give you if you're doing the show Family Feud to be the first answer. So a lot of people say pride is caused by sports. People say, and it's not necessarily. It's pride. You're just playing sports and you're prideful. That's all it is. You can have pride in baking. You can have pride in anything at home. But that's what we think in our society sometimes. But. It's funny because I was thinking about this and looking, and it says, and I think I said to myself, you know, pride is more effective in public, whereas prayer is more effective in private. And neither one do you have to do anything to do. You just sit there. You can give that proud look, but you're not going to give a proud look in private. No one's going to see it. But prayer is more effective in private, though. It's just a shame, I think, that we waste so much time, wasted time, discussing the problems of other people. Without them even knowing it. We're discussing the problems of somebody else because somehow talking about it will somehow mysteriously solve their problems. We saw, you know what, these... I don't know, they got these problems, and you know, gee whiz, what should be done about it, this and this and this. But let it be. That's pride. That's your own pride exhibiting it. And because that's that scale which we've talked about many times, that scale. Anytime we can, and I've done it thousands of times. You know what? Pride. You can bring somebody down, you're lifting yourself up, exalting yourself. And the Bible says here, that he may exalt you in due time. He, meaning the Lord, and due time, he'll let you know when. He'll let you know when. Not when I want it now. And I know some of the younger people here probably sick of it from hearing it since you've been bored that you're in the me generation, or now it's the X generation. I guess I'm behind one now. But we're all like that. We're all like that because we talk about your grandparents, your great-grandparents, what they had, or a little bit of that they had, nothing. I mean, I remember walking to my grandparents' homes, always neat as a whistle. Well, number one reason was because they had very little. There's very little to keep up. Now we got to have everything, and we can't keep up with it. But they had very little. And it's difficult because now we want. And we want one thing. That's why electronics is so popular. These companies, they put out the iPhone 57, and then tomorrow we'll get it. Next day it's 58. I mean, I was down in New York City, Manhattan. The Apple store down in Manhattan, at that point was the biggest one. Open 24 hours a day. It boggles my mind. And there was a city block in New York wrapped around the building. And they're all Southeast Asian people. And what they were doing was it was going to go for sale that morning. They're going to ship it back there, take it back, and sell them there and everything. And because they want it. They want to get it, be the first one to get it. And that's how it used to be, I think, in the years ago. I mean, when they first started coming out with videos, they call videos the VHSs. Some people know what I'm talking about, right? You can go watch the movie for $7, whatever it is now, I don't know, $7 in the movie theater, or you can wait, you know, a couple of months like us and say, well, if it's decent, we'll get it to the library and watch it for nothing. but people want it right away. And marketers know they want it right away. They know they want it right away because you can't wait. And that's how society's become. But and I was talking before with some people back here, it's how pride exhibits itself too. Pride exhibits, when I was playing ball, whatever, years ago, I mean, my father watched the game. He never made a comment at all. Now, boy, the referees got to wear a bulletproof vest in games, kids' games, because the parents come over the fence. And that's why I don't like listening to opinion-type radio talk shows on sports and everything. What do I care what they think? Well, the Bills are going to go 12-4 today, and they'll win today 35-23. Well, if you really knew that, you wouldn't be doing on this local sports show. You'd be sitting on NBC News or selling books like crazy how good you are at predicting things. I mean, who cares what you think about what the score is going to be tonight and everything else? I mean, really. But there's opposition between us and God here when we're prideful. That's why he says he giveth grace to the humble. Simple. Give us grace to the humble. And look in the back to verse 7 where he tells us to cast all. Casting all. A-L-L. All. All of it. I mean, why do we torture ourselves? Why do we torture ourselves with thoughts and bad thoughts, with stress, when he tells us to cast it all upon him? We fritter our health away because we worry and we stress and we go, oh. And as you may know, I'm not a worrier. Doesn't mean I'm not praying. Doesn't mean I'm not a worrier. And as you can also imagine, God puts certain couples together, sometimes opposites. And it's right. It's funny because throughout his book, he shows us how he cares for us. All throughout his book, he shows us in his book how he cares by sending his son to die on the cross for us. Tells us that he shows us by through his miracles to us, by blessings to us. All these ways he shows us throughout his book. But for some reason, and I'm not God, so I can't figure out why he had Peter write this down or read it. But for some reason, right here, near the end of the New Testament, he feels the need to have to come out and tell us that he cares for us. Isn't it funny? I don't know if God's thinking, oh, you guys think they know that I care for him and everything else? No, because we're stupid. Because we're stupid. And he figures he's got to come out and tell us. I care for you. I care for you. Just put your care upon me. I care for you. Doesn't mean I'm going to solve the problem. Doesn't mean cancer is going to go away. Doesn't mean Johnny's not going to run away. But I still care for you. I still care for you. I mean, he really cares for me. Yeah, he had to write it in a book for us to see. We didn't see it by design. See, I mean, some of us, we may think at times that he's not there. Maybe he's dreaming, you know, he must be sleeping tonight. He's off night. You know, he doesn't really know what I'm going through. He doesn't understand my issues. Oh, he understands all our issues. He understands all our issues. He understands that on the way home tonight, a deer is going to jump in front of your car. He knows that already. He knows what you're going to have for dinner before you think about what you're going to have for dinner. Because he cares for us. His cares for us are innumerable, invaluable, unending. But it just strikes me as funny when I read this and say, why do you have to write that? Because you know why? He's tired of beating around the bush with us. I care for you. I care for you. There's no question now. There's no question. Yeah, God says it. He means it. But what? Does he care for my family? Does he care for my health? And how about tomorrow? So yes, he knows all that stuff. He's never going to stop. I mean, God's design in all this. His design is pure, is perfect here. He doesn't tell us that we're going to be perfect. I mean, David in the Bible wasn't perfect. Joseph in the Bible wasn't perfect. Samson in the Bible wasn't perfect. There's no perfect being. We all try to mold, and we've said that before too many times here, that we all had our way about how things were going to be. Oh, you know, I'm going to raise, you know, every one of these children for God, and they're going to be soldiers, and they're going to do what I tell them to do the whole time. Well, did you do what your mother and father told you to do? And someone just said to me, oh, that's not the same. They're not Christians. It doesn't have to do with anything. Their parents, they told you what to do. You didn't do what they wanted you to do. Huh. Well, now they want to get older and they want to move out of the house. Oh, how could they do that? Well, you're not still living in your mother and father's house, are you? Because they told you to live in the house. If you are, that's fine. That's fine. But because your parent, you live in your mother and father's house because you're 50 years old and they're 80 and they told you not to leave the house? No. No. I mean, we all think that we've got the perfect way. And many of us have thought that over the years about certain things. You know what? This is the way to do it. And we've all made our own Bible. I've said that dozens of times. We've all formed our own Bible, and we've all fallen on our face like we should have. Like we should have. Because of our pride. See, you can't see God's hands in your problem, hands being put on your problems, if you can't get off of your own mind. You can't get yourself off your own mind. In other words, how often do you think about yourself? How often do you think about yourself? Oh, my goodness. The way you look, maybe. I was thinking about this today, a little bit. Think about it. I often think, can you imagine for a moment, just think of yourself as being a mirror. I'm a mirror. I'm a mirror, and I can speak. And here I am, and I'm not picking anybody. I'm a mirror. So here I am, sitting there. All of a sudden I say, oh, here she comes again. Stuff like the 14th time in the last 25 minutes she's coming to see me. What is she staring at me for all the time? I get a little nervous. Why is she going to stare at me? I don't know. What does she think she's doing? Oh, she's opening the purse again. What is that thing in there? What she got down there? Oh, make up. Make up. Make up what? Oh, I see what she's making up. Oh, she got the trowel out of the purse too. I used it for drywall. What is she doing with that thing? Oh, she's really applying it heavy now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, now what's she doing now? She got some gallon jug. Lip gloss. Lip gloss. Boy, she's applying that heavy, too. She's got more gloss than she has lip. My goodness. I mean, oh, what is she thinking about herself so much for? I mean, oh, my goodness. Wait till I write my memoirs. My memoirs will be Confessions of a Mirror Taken for Granted. I mean, but that's how we get it to be. You know, and that could be in a men's room, a women's room, whatever. And we sometimes take too much time upon ourselves. Take too much time upon ourselves. And I mentioned today we're going to be quick tonight, but that's why I just want to key on a couple points about this humility and this grace and this care. And this care. And sometimes we care more for ourselves. God's the one that's going to take care of that care. Because we really are trying to care for ourselves more, and we can't get it off of us and try to pass it to somebody else or maybe care about somebody else. I mean, he tells us again how to obtain that grace through humility. Then to lean on him, he tells us. I mean, let's tell this story about this woman. And remember this. This woman used to spend a lot of time on just herself, and she didn't bother with others. She didn't reach out to others. She was all about herself. A lot of that comes, though, when you do that. A lot of that comes about and ends up in pride and self-righteousness. And Her name was, I don't know if anybody knows, her name was Mrs. Moore. And then one day she realized it really wasn't about herself. It really wasn't about herself. Put it on the Lord. I mean, and a time came when she started to reach out. And she testifies now about the Lord to others. She's there for others, and not just her own agenda. I think her first name is Karen. And see, now when people see her, they see her walk in a room. They walk in a room, they point to her, and they can honestly mean it when they say, "Hey, she's Karen Moore. She's Karen Moore. Are you Karen Moore? Are you Karen Moore tonight?" You say, "Well, what's that got to do with humility and pride and casting your care?" You know what? We care too little for others sometimes. We're not caring enough. We want to be more like Karen Moore. She's always Karen Moore now. And you don't want to be caring less. You want to be caring more. And it's our pride that halts us from doing that. I mean, are we engrossed in our own problems? Halting any of God's grace to appear because we're caring about ourselves too much. We know the Lord cares. He's the one that's caring. We want to care more about others. We want to get out. Tomorrow night they're going again. Try to pass off some tracts, hold some banners up and everything else. Maybe it's time for others to be caring more and be more like her. And you know what? It's an easy example. And that's what I'm about a lot of times, is easy examples, just things to remember now. Brother Matt Shera preached a message, I don't know, 150 years ago or so, when he was 50. He more or less preached about, and it's a simple message. And he just mainly, I think he taught it to a Sunday school group. And he just, we all know it, the letters J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. And the order. In the order, Jesus, others, and yourself. And I'm not saying that you need to, you know, get up in the morning without brushing your teeth, or some people need some help doing that. But, you know, I'm talking about just caring more about what goes around you. Maybe that'll get it off yourself, get off that pride off yourself. Because when you do care about others more, there's less time for you to care about yourself. "Well, you don't understand the life I have. If I told you the life I had, you would just twirl your hair because of what I've gone through for the last 120 years and everything." You know, God already knows all that. God always knows that. Nobody's marked here. Nobody gets marked. And that's why I'm a big proponent of certain things in here, as far as, like, I see some younger people growing up, and people remember, "Oh, when Johnny was 5, I remember when, you know, he used to pick his nose and eat it, and I don't always remember that." And now that he's 25, you're still remembering that. Why? Why? Knowing the older guys, people remember what a beast you were 10 years ago. You know, get a free ride. Some of these younger guys in here, they get punished for what's happened years ago and everything. And you know what? Now they're older. They're caring. They're going out. They're doing things. They're trying to be respectable. And then someday they may knock on your door looking for a wife. And you say, you know, I got 300 questions here to ask you first here. And see if you can get by question one. You know? I don't know. You just don't fit the bill. Because I was looking for Spurgeon's last name. No. You know, I remember what you did. One time you threw that window through my, the rock through my window years ago. That was 12 years ago. Well, I said, no, can't do it. Huh? Suit yourself. Have it your way. But getting back, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So I want you to remember that tonight. Remember, it's just a little series of key words here. Humility, grace, care. And that's really describes our Savior. And that's really the point of what we're all doing here, right? I mean, we don't come here just to break up the week, just come here just because, you know, the show's not on tonight or whatever. We come here because we want to be more like Him. And that's what it's all about. Whether we spend here an hour here or 2 hours here, it's to be more like Him. And we've all had busy days today. Some of you work long days. And come to a service and everything. You want to get something that just gives you a little encouragement. And the encouragement is that, you know what? That He cares for you. And He's always going to care for you. I don't care what doldrums you're in. He's going to care for you. You say, well, nobody. There's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be somebody. It's going to be Him. And that's all I want you to remember tonight. Brother Dave, you want to come forward and do the hymn. And just think about that. You know what? Is there somebody here that maybe you've not treated the proper way? Maybe you're not friendly to them. Maybe it's because of your pride. Yeah, you know what? Because that person did something to this person, that person. Is it that? Is it something about maybe you're caring more about yourself? Are you caring more? Think about that tonight. All right, brother. Thank you.